Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Pei Amud Aleph, about 9 lines down. The Gemara here is discussing what came up with the Mishnah, and we just mentioned yesterday, which is the need for acquiescence on the other parties, or for the other parties to join into the Shita of Mivot. We mentioned yesterday, towards the end, the Braita, that Imi Shelo, if the Eruv, or the Shituf, is his, Tzarich Lezakot, he has to give rights, he has to grant rights to the other parties inside of the Eruv, or the Shituf Mivot. He has to do that by having someone else make a kinyan on the object on behalf of those parties. Or if it's theirs, then he has to let them know that they're making the Eruv Shituf Mivot. He has to make them aware of the fact that it's being used now or utilized as a Shituf Mivot or Eruv Hatzerot. So now we have a Machloket Amoraim that also lends into a Machloket Tanaim as to what exactly is the process for putting together the Shituf Mivot. So Itmar, Shitufei Mivot. When it comes to making a Shituf Mivot, Rav Amar, Ein Tzarich Lezakot, you don't have to grant the other party the rights in there. I mean, you don't have to have someone make a kinyan on their behalf. Shmuel Amar, Ein Tzarich Lezakot, that you do have to grant them those rights and have someone make a kinyan on their behalf. Eruvei Tchumin, they have the exact opposite opinion. Rav Amar, Ein Tzarich Lezakot, you have to grant them rights, you have to have them make a kinyan in it. Shmuel Amar, Ein Tzarich Lezakot, you don't have to have someone make a kinyan on their behalf to have the Tchumim take effect. What is going on? What's the position of Rav? What's the position of Shmuel? Rav's position is already problematic because of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says explicitly when it comes to Shitif Mivot that you have to be Mizakeh Yedei Achirim. You have to grant them rights through third parties inside of the Shitif Mivot. How does Rav all of a sudden come over here and say, Ein Tzarich Lezakot, that you don't have that right? So Rashi answers like Shaul just said, Rav is Tanu Poliku. Rav has a din of a Tana sometimes, and he is arguing. He's arguing on our Mishnah. Why does it work? So Tosafot here summarizes, he brings Rashi as well. For Rav, you do not have to be the Zakot. Kevin de Asarale, Gamar Umaknile. We're going to see this throughout the Gemara today. Since without the Eruv, you're going to cause it to be Asur to carry. So the assumption, or the underlying assumption is that because you're going to cause a problem, you have a Gemira Dat. Kinyan is all about Gemir Adat. It shows intent, it brings closure, finality to the agreement between us. So the Kinyan is a way to indicate that we understand what is transpiring and that we agree to the terms. Sometimes you can create or simulate what a Kinyan does by simply the situation. And so that's what it is over here. The situation is that if we don't bring you into the Eruv, if we don't join you into the Shittim Vot, nobody's going to be able to carry it. It's going to ruin the area in terms of carrying on Shabbat. So because of that, Gamar Maknile, right? We have a Gemir Tadat that he is going to be, give him the Kinyan or give him the rights in this item without a third party coming and make a Kinyan on behalf of the other party. Because without it, it's just not going to work. So we have Gemir Tadat that's caused by the situation. Because without it, you won't have anything. And that's the equivalent of a Kinyan over here. By Tchumin, you don't have that effect. Because there's no Isur, there's no restriction that when the other people don't join or when they're not a part of you, the heir of Tchumin, there's no interplay between you and the other individuals. So in order to have them join or be a part of your heir of Tchumin, you're going to have to make a Kinyan. You're going to have to grant them those rights to show that they have rights inside of the heir of Tchumin. So that's the way we explain Rav and Shmuel. That Eruv works because of Kinyan. It works because of your acquiring rights in the property. In order to acquire rights in the property, you need to have a proper Kinyan. And by Tchumin, Shmuel says you do not need to be the Zakot because there's no Kinyan. You're not be Kunet Rishut. You're not taking, acquiring any piece of the property here. So that's why it works. Or, Tosfot offers, Inami, you can only put out Erev Tchumim for a mitzvah. Since for it's a mitzvah, Gamar Maknile. So then there's a Gemir Adat. Because the thing is a participation in a mitzvah, then you are Gomer Adat or Gemir Adat. You have the equivalent of what a Kinyan does because of the necessity or the situation. So that's the position of Rav, the position of Shmuel. Now, it turns out, Tosfot summarizes here, Hashta Yesh Dvarim, Shanu Machmirim B'chatzerot Mit Tchumim. Sometimes Eruv Chatzerot is more chamur than an Eruv Tchumin. The Chatzerot Tzarich Lezakot L'Shmuel Ubayi Pat. By Eruv Chatzerot, number one, according to Shmuel, you have to have a Zikoy, you have to have a Kinyan, formal type of Kinyan. And number two is you can only use bread for an Eruv Chatzerot. Whereas by Erev Tchumin, you don't need lezakot, and you don't need bread. You don't have to have lechem be the Erev Tchumin. But then there's some things that we're machmirim b'tchumim tvei. There's some things that we are more machmir the gabi tchumim versus chatzerot, which is, by tchumim, you need bet su'udot l'kol echad. You need two su'udot for every participant in the Erev Tchumin. We're going to see today, by Erev Chatzerot, you max out at two su'udot, no matter how many people are there. If you have bet su'udot, that's enough for the Erev Chatzerot. That's why today, we use a box of matzos for the entire city, because you max out at two su'udot. For Erev Tchumin, that wouldn't work. You need two su'udot for every individual. And in addition, by shlichut, of shalech eruv biyad chereshoteh v'katan, enu eruv by tchumin, but b'chetzerot, the chereshoteh v'katan can be goveh the eruv. So we have differences. In some instances, chetzerot is going to be more machmir, and some instances, tchumim is going to be more machmir. So now we understand we have a machloket here, Rav and Shmuel. And in this machloket, Rav and Shmuel, we have one machloket that revolves around shitufim v'ot and chetzerot, the other one about Erev Tchumin. So Bishlam Olde Shmuel, according to Shmuel, makes sense. Hacha Tanan, Hacha Lo Tanan. In our Mishnah, which is talking about Shituf Me'ot and Erev Chatzirot, it says that there is a Zikui here. You have to grant the rights to the other parties through giving it to a third party. Your children who are old enough, your wife, your Eved Ivri, whoever it is that's acquiring on their behalf. But by Erev Tchumin, which is coming up, over there is no mention in the Mishnah of this issue of doing the Zikui and being Mezakeh to Acherim. So, it's easy for Shmuel. Shmuel says, it's written here, it's not written there, that's why I have my position. El Rav, my taima. What is Rav's position? Rav's position is just the opposite. So he says, Tanayei, Tamachloke Tanaim, Damar Rav Yehuda Marav, Maseh Bikalato Shel Rabbi Yoshaya. There was this incident with the daughter-in-law of Rabbi Yoshaya, Shel Chala Beit HaMerchatz. She went to the bathhouse. This is on Erev Shabbat, she goes to the bathhouse. V'chosh Chala. And then it fell dark. Shabbat started. V'irvela Chamulta. Her mother-in-law put out an eruv on her behalf. And the incident came before Rabbi Chiya, and he says, no good. Rashi, and so we'll start with it, Rashi says, we're talking about eruv tchumin here. She was outside the tchum of the city, because the bathhouse was outside the tchum of the city. It turns Shabbat, and now she needs to get back to the city. She can't get back to the city, she's too far out. She's past the tchum. So her mother-in-law puts an eruv for her in a position which will allow her to return to the city. They come to Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya says, no good. It's not a good Eruv. Amar lo Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yossi, Bavlai kol kach ata machmir b'Eruvin. You, Babylonian, you're so machmir in Eruvin. Now, Rabbi Chiya is an Eretz Yisrael, but his origins are from Bavel. He comes from Bavel, and then he learns by Rabbi in Eretz Yisrael. He's a Talmid of Rabbi. Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Yeshaya were both a medium of Rabbi who were Mesader of the Braitot. That's what the Gemara says in many places. That Kol Braita, that was both Nishnet, Be Rabbi Chiya and Be Rabbi Yeshaya, any Braita that was not learned in one of these Beit Midrashot was not a good Braita. So they're the Mesader of Braitot. Rabbi Chiya is a Talmud of Rabbi. And then Rav, who's his nephew, Rabbi Chiya's nephew, learned by Rabbi in Eretz Yisrael and also learned by Rabbi Chiya. And then he moves to Bavel. Goes to Bavel. So it's interesting, he ends up going back home, quote-unquote. Rabbi Chiya, or his origins are from Bavel, comes to Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Chiya is related to both the Rav's mother and father. That the Gemara discusses, we'll get to that in the Gemara Pesachim. And then Rav learns in Eretz Yisrael by Rabbi and by Rabbi Chiya, and then goes to Bavel. He probably might have been born in Eretz Yisrael, but then he returns later on to go to Bavel. It's just interesting in terms of the family. So Shmuel Rabbi Yossi says to Rabbi Chiya, you Babylonian, why are you being so machmir in Eruvin? Kach amar abo, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi says, this is what my father said, means that's what Rabbi Yossi said. Koshesh l'cha l'akel be'eruvim l'akel. Wherever you can be lenient in Eruvim, you should be lenient. So according to Rashi, the statement of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi is in Tchumin. And he's saying by Tchumim, you're mekil. By Tchumin, and you do not need the other party to grant rights in it, or you don't need the other party to have a binyan in it. It works anyway, even by tchumin. So Rav's opinion, number one, it'll be based on by chatzerot, it came into asar le gamar makne. By chatzerot, we'll say he's gomer ve makne. It works. Even though the Mishnah argues on Rav, nevertheless, Rashi says, Rav tano upaliku. Since Rav is a tano upaliku, now we have a position for Rav. So by chatzerot, he says, ain't zarech lezakot. And then by Erev Tchumin, Rav says, zarech lezakot. But meantime, we have, even though he's opposite our Mishnah, he has Rabbi Chiya to support him by Tchumin. By Tchumin, he'll hold like Rabbi Chiya, not like Rabbi Yishmael, but Rabbi Yossi. And by Chatzerot, he'll say the Gemara Makne. That's the way Rashi reads this Gemara. Tosafot says, here's for contrast, I would have Tchumin Avu. This incident happened with Erev Tchumin, but he thinks that's not right. He says the whole sugya is talking about Erev Chatzerot. That's the context of our Mishnah. We're not talking about Tchumin here, we're talking about Erev Chatzerot. And therefore he says, Veishlamar, Dveiruve Chatzerot Ayamase. This whole incident was an Erev Chatzerot. The daughter-in-law was out at the bathhouse, Shabbat came in, and they needed her to join in to the Eruv Chatzerot. So her mother-in-law gives on her behalf, or enters her into the Eruv, without her knowledge or without her participation in terms of a kinyan. So then, Rav is then holding like Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. Because here, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi says, you gotta be Mekil and Eruvin. And this we're talking about here is Eruv Chatzerot. So therefore, Rav is holding like Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi that we're Mekil by Eruv Chatzerot. And then, in terms of Eruv Tchumin, everybody agrees you need Tchia, meaning that Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi only argues by Eruv Chatzerot. But Eruv Tchumin, he would agree, and so would Rabbi Chiya, that you need a Kinyan, and that's to be Rav's opinion. According to Rashi's opinion, what you're going to have to say here is that Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, Azdu L'Tamayu, are L'Shita Tam, which is that Rabbi Chiya believes Tchumim Ardo, right? And therefore he's Machmir over here. Whereas Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi thinks that Safek Tchumim is the Hakel, meaning it's the Rabbonon, and that's why he's Mekel by Eruvei Tchumin. It's interesting that Rabbi Kiva Eger says he doesn't know why Rashi and Tosafot are having so much trouble explaining the position of Rav. He says it's very simple. It's very simple. The Rav Savilei Misvoro. We see this throughout the Masechta, that Tchumim, we're always more machmir than Chatzerot, because Tchumim have a source in the Torah, or an asmachta, at least in the Torah. So for many issues, we've said that Eruvei Tchumim are more chamur than Eruvei Chatzerot. And Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi over here, who says by Tchumim, if you read it like Rashi, that you don't need a Kinyan, then certainly he believes by Chatzerot that you don't need a Kinyan. And that'll be the source for Rav's position. Rav's position is, if Rabbi Yossi thinks by Eruvei Tchumim you don't need Zchia, then certainly by Eruvei Chatzerot he believes you don't need Zchia. And that is his position. That's how Rav gets his position. And in terms of Tchumin, even though Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi says you don't need a Schia, Rav believes you do need it because he holds like Rabbi Chiya. So now you have a simple explanation of Rav's position. He holds like the Tanaim over here. It's not that, like Rashi says, Rav Tano Poligiyu, and he's holding like Rabbi Chiya. According to Tosafot, that he holds like Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, but then everybody else agrees by Tchumin. Very simple. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi has an opinion that's consistent now between Tchumim and Chatzerot. He says it by Tchumim, he means it by Chatzerot as well, which is no Zchia. And that's where Rav gets his opinion, by Chatzerot, that you don't need Zchia. How about Tchumim? By Tchumim, he holds like Rabbi Chiya. Now he has two Tanaim to support his position. And that's where Rav got his position. So Rabbi Kiva Eger says, I don't know why everybody's having so much trouble. That's the explanation of Rav's position. So now the Gemara continues. If you buy the who? Mishel Chamuta Yirvala. What was the problem here? When her mother-in-law went and put the Eruv down, what was the issue? Is it because she took her own stuff? She didn't grant her rights in it? She didn't, wasn't Mizake, the daughter-in-law, in the Eruv? Oh, Dilma Mishela Yirvala. Or was the problem that she took her daughter-in-law's possession to make the Eruv, but didn't notify her, didn't tell her that she was making an Eruv on her behalf with her own stuff? I mean, her own stuff, meaning the daughter-in-law's things. Tamalan, how mi Rabbonon, one of the Rabbonon, Rabbi Yaakov Shimei, he says, the Dimi Farshila Mine de Rabbi Yochanan, I heard this in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Mishel Chamuta Yerva, it was her mother-in-law's things, Umishom Delo Zichtala, and the whole reason behind here why it failed was because she didn't grant her daughter-in-law rights inside of the Eruv. So Amalei Rabbi Zera, the Rabbi Yaakov, Brad Bat Yaakov, so Rabbi Zera says to Rabbi Yaakov, the grandson of Rabbi Yaakov, the reason that they term it this way, that he's the son of the daughter of Rabbi Yaakov, which makes him a grandfather to him, which is who he's named after, obviously. Yeah. His father is not mentioned here, as Rashi says, because Aviv lo haya hagun, lefikach lo hizkiru. His father wasn't ra'oi to be mentioned, so therefore they skip over that generation. We have that with the benot Shmuel, with the daughters of Shmuel, also that Shmuel's grandchildren were named after through his daughters, not through their husbands necessarily. So you have a similar thing over here. So he says to him, to this Rabbi Yaakov, Kimati Totom, when you reach Eretz Yisrael, Akif Vizil Usuma Tzur. You know, take a little detour and go over to the ascents of Tzur. Ubaimi Nemi Rav Yaakov Bar Idi. And then query of Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, this issue. What was the problem here? Is it because it belonged to the mother-in-law and she didn't grant her daughter-in-law rights in it? Or did the mother-in-law use the daughter-in-law's possessions but didn't notify her? He got back the answer. The reason that it failed over here was because it belonged to the mother-in-law and she didn't grant her rights in here. And that's what we were looking for in this case. We're looking for an opinion that believes that you do not need a zchia, according to Rashi in Eruvei Tchumin, and according to Tosavot in Eruvei Chatzeirot. Amar Rav Nachman, Naktinan, this is the halacha, Rav Nachman says, Echad Eruvei Tchumin, Vechad Eruvei Chatzeirot. Doesn't matter if you make an Eruv Tchumin, you make an Eruv Chatzeirot, Echad Shitufei Mevot, or you're making a Shituf Mevot, Tzarech Mzakot. In all these cases, you have to grant the other party rights in the item. So now he's conclusive, meaning that he's taking the chumrot of Rav and the chumrot of Shmuel. Rav Nachman is the Talmid of Shmuel, and Rav Nachman says that the halacha is like Rav the Chumra and like Shmuel the Chumra. The Rav the Chumra that you need zchiya, or you have to have zchut by Eruvei Tchumin, and it's like Shmuel over here because you need zchiya or zchut in Eruvei Chatzirot and Shitufei Mivot. By Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman has a question about one more Eruv, which is Eruvei Tov Shilin. If you make Eruv Tavshilin on behalf of someone, Tzarech Zakot, Tuein Tzarech Zakot, do you have to grant them rights in the Eruv Tavshilin? Or can you just simply say, I'm making it on behalf of all of us? I'm Rabbi Yosef, Umayti Bayilei. Why does he even have a question? Lo Shmilei, Hadam Rav Nachman Bar Rav Adam or Shmuel. He didn't hear this memra of Rav Nachman Bar Adam in the name of Shmuel, Eruv Tavshilin, Tzarech Zakot, that by Eruv Tavshilin, you also need to have a Zchia on behalf of the other person. You have to grant them rights in it. So Amarle Abaye, so Abaye responds, Abaye is the Talmud of Rav Yosef. Remember here, Rav Yosef makes a statement, now Abaye says, Pshita Dolo Shmile, it's clear that Rav Nachman never heard this memra. Di Shmile, Mighty Baile. If had he heard the memra of Shmuel, why would he have queried about it? Why would he have asked the question? So Amarle, Rav Yosef says back to him, Atoe Ruvei Tchumim, Lo Amar Shmuel, Ein Tzarech Zakot. Don't we know that Shmuel says when it comes to Eruvei Tchumin that you don't have to have a Zchia? Despite that fact, Vamar Iyu, and despite the fact Rav Nachman paskins against him and says, Tzarech Lizakot. So who says that just because Shmuel says something by Eruvei Tavshilin that Rav Nachman's going to agree to it? We have him saying something by Eruvei Tchumim and he disagrees with it. So when it says, Achi Ashto, the two cases aren't comparable, Rabbi says, Bishlam Ha'otam Plige Rabu Shmuel. That over there you have a machlokin and Tchumim between Rav and Shmuel. And he takes the position of the Chumrah. He takes Chumrah by Chatzeirot of Shmuel, and by Tchumim, he takes the Chumrah of Rav. Over here, if he heard about the member of Shmuel, is there anybody who argues on him? There is no other party here to argue on him that we would say, oh, Rav Nachman heard what Shmuel said, and he says he holds like the other party. There is no other party. So obviously, if Rav Nachman had heard Shmuel's memra, he would have subscribed to it. Based on that, Tosafot brings from the Shilta that the halacha is, you have to have a zchiyah in all four of these items. That's Eruv Tavshilin, Eruv Tchumin, Eruv Chatzeirot, and Shitifuei Mivaot. All of them require a zchiyah. Hau Torzina. Torzina is a non-Jewish individual. Torzina, as Rashi explains over here, is a position who's Mumuneh Aglei Zayin, Hasun Shmirat Ha'ir. He was in charge of the weapons depot for the city, for the protection of the city. Davi B'Shivutei Rabbi Zera. He lived in the neighborhood of Rabbi Zera, in the Chatzera, the Mavoy of Rabbi Zera. Amalei Ogir Lan Rishutech. Rent to us your property so they can make an Eruv Chatzerot or Shituf Mevot. Lo Ogir Lahu. He refused to rent them the property. Atu L'Kameid Rabbi Zera. They come to Rabbi Zera. Amalei Maul Megar Medibitu. Can we rent from his wife? Amalo Achimar Reish Lakish Mishmei Degavra Rabba Umanu Rabbi Chanina. Shlakish says in the name of Rabbi Chanina, Ishto Shel Adam Me'arevet Shelo Midato. A person's wife can join the Eruv without his knowledge or without his necessarily acquiescence. So because of that, go to his wife and you can have his wife participate even though he's not necessarily on board or not necessarily agreeing to it. And that is, we also saw before, by Schiro and Lekito. It's Schiro and Lekito of the Nachri. They're also, the Nachri refused to join in the Eruv. And they said, well, if there's a Jew that's working for him and living by him, that Jew can join an Eruv on his behalf. even though he's refusing to rent, and that takes care of the issue. So you do have this ability against the will of the Nachri to have participation. Because again, the whole thing is a takanat chachamim, gzirat chachamim. The chachamim wanted to make the gzirah for reasons. They don't want you living like this. They don't want you keeping the goy in the neighborhood. Whatever the reasons are. But they didn't want to make it so in the end it becomes so difficult that you can't live anymore. So they gave also dispensations that once it happened that to get around it, that you can use these backhanded methods to get the rights of the Nachri to his wife, to his chiro, the kito. So we have another case here, which is Da'u Turzina. There was another individual, non-Jewish person in charge of the weapons depot, Da'u Bishiv Tadeh Rabbi Yehuda Bar Oshaya, was in his neighborhood. Amrilei, Ogur Lan Rishuteich, the people tried to have him rent the property to them. Lo Ogur Lahu, he was refused to grant them rights in the property. Can we rent from his wife? He didn't know. They went to ask Rav Matna. Rav Matna didn't know either. They went to Rav Yehuda. A woman can give into the Eruv without the acknowledgement or the acquiescence of her husband. So certainly over here, by the non-Jew, you can have her rent it to you, and that will take care of the Eruv. Meitevei, Nashim she'irvu v'nishtatfu shlo midat v'alehem. Women who made an Eruv, or shittif mevo'ot, without the acquiescence or the knowledge of their husbands, ein eruvan eruv, ein shitufan shituf. It doesn't work. So here you see that when the women do it, it doesn't work. And where it says, lokasha, had asar, had lo asar. Depends on the situation. If, without the women joining in, they will cause a problem for each other, then the husbands, in a sense, granted rights, even though they don't know it, because it's to their benefit, and they will gamar amakne. They will agree, or they will, by definition, want to be a part of the Eruv, or the Shittub Mevo'ot, because without it, they won't be able to carry. On the other hand, Hadalo Asar is in a case where, without this Eruv Chatzerot, without this Shittub Mevo'ot, they could have been independent. They could have carried in their area. They don't have to join in the other party. Rashi gives the example of a chatzer that sits between two mevo'ot. And the chatzer normally goes out one direction, one mavoi. So in that case, they all have to do is be a part of shittu mevo'ot of that mavoi. The second mavoi they don't have to join together with. If the women then make a shittu mevo'ot with the other mavoi, then it fails because it's not necessary. They don't need to have that shittu mevo'ot in order to carry on Shabbat. It's not oser on them. Because that mavoi is not automatically joined with them because they usually go out the other door. But the other mavoi, where it does make the masur there, if they joined into the Eruv or the Shittim Mevo'ot, it would be efficacious because there would be asur. If they didn't join that Eruv, then there would be asur to carry. Gemara says, Achinami Mistabra, that makes a lot of sense because the Imkein Kasher de Shmuel and Shmuel. Otherwise you have a problem, two memrot of Shmuel. Tamar Shmuel, Echad b'mnei mavoi, shiragil ishtateif b'mnei mavoi. If one of the participants in the mavoi normally joins into the Shittim Mevo'ot, and now he decides, I'm not going to join. He's on protest. I'm not joining the Shittim Mevo'ot. They can go in there and take it against his will. He can't hold the whole Mavoi captive. He can't hold them ransom to him putting into the Mavoi. They can take it against his will. If in the past he's joined in, he can't all of a sudden decide he's not joining in. Ragil in, she'en ragil lo. That's only if he regularly does it. But if he doesn't regularly do it, then no, shma mina. From what do you conclude? If he regularly joins the Shittim Mevo'ot or the Erivei Chatzerot, it's because he would be asur otherwise. So if he regularly does it, then we can force him to continue doing it. On the other hand, if he doesn't normally join in, because either he doesn't make them asur or they never had an Eruv there, then we can't force him. So the same thing by the women. The women can act on behalf of their husbands when the husband's normally joined in or otherwise. Not joining the Eruv or the Shituf would make it that nobody can carry. There, the women can act on behalf of their husbands. On the other hand, when it's not Asur without them, there's no reason that they have to make an Eruv Chatzerot or the Shituf, or they don't normally make it, then the women can't act on behalf of their husbands. They don't have the right to act because it's their husband's possessions, and they can't act on their behalf because we don't have any implicit type of acquiescence by the husbands. We don't have any demand that it be done because of the problem of the Isur of Karen Shabbat, where we'll say Gamar Makni. So since you don't have that effect, they can't do it independent of their husbands. Tosafot over here makes an interesting point. He says, Even though we conclude here that a woman may join into an eruv without her husband's permission or without his knowledge, but don't learn from this, or don't extrapolate from this. What happens if she takes out a big loaf of bread and says, I'm mizakah everybody into this eruv? She'll make the eruv for the entire thing. She can't do that. She can join the Eruv and give in to the Eruv without her husband's knowledge. But what she can't do is grant all the neighbors rights in her husband's possessions in order to make into an Eruv or Shittuvot. If the husband's not in the city, he's away traveling, that the woman can't act now on behalf of the whole Shkuna and give everybody rights in her husband's food in order to make an Eruv Chatzerot. That she doesn't have rights to do, because that's not the problem. The problem here is she needs to join the Eruv. So in joining the Eruv, that we grant her rights to do, to join the Eruv, even though her husband doesn't know about it, it's not there. But what we don't grant her right to do is make the Eruv for the entire neighborhood, because that requires kinyan and a giving up of ownership of your property, that she doesn't have rights to act on behalf of her husband. If you don't have the husband and the wife in the city, it's just the children that are left behind, Tosfot says, I'm not sure that the people left behind can join the Eruv without their permission. Here we say that the wife can act on behalf of the husband. We don't say that the remainder of the parties here can act on behalf of the father in this case. So in that case, he says you might need the permission of the father in order to do this. All right, so now the Gemara continues. Lema misayile. Let's say that this supports this position that we just said. Kofin oto lasot lechi bikorah lemavui. You can force someone to make a lechi and a korah to make the mavui usable. To make the mavui usable, you'll have to force them to put up a lechi or put up a korah. So again, here we see this idea that you can compel someone to join into an Eruv. Shmuel just said here, if the guy normally was in the Shittiv Mavot, or the Eruv Chatzerot, and decides all of a sudden he's on protest, he's not going to join, you can go take it against his will. So to over here, it sounds like against the will of the individual, you can force him to put up a Lechi or a Korah. So that seems to board Shmuel. When it says, no, Shani Hotam. Shani Hotam, it's different over there. Now, there's Machloket, Rashi, and Tosafot. The Girsa, Rashi's Girsa is what we have in our Gemara. Deleka mechitzot, that there are no mechitzot. So Rashi says, by the lechi and the korah, by the mavoi, you have three walls around it, and then one side is open to the reshut ravim. So putting up a lechi and a korah over there is necessary because that puts up the fourth wall. It's a little difficult because a lechi and a korah, even if they work mishum mechitzot, are not real mechitzot. They're really halachic mechitzot that allow you to carry in there. So it's not so clear why that all of a sudden you can force him because it closes off the mavoi. It only closes off the mavoi figuratively, not necessarily literally. But that's what Rashi explains. Lishna achrina mitzad shiny. The other lashon, which the Gros says is bebeitin shiny. If he does it in beitin, then it's different because then you can force him. Here he's taking him to court to enforce it or to push to do that. The other possibility is the Bach takes this girsa out entirely. So the guy Bach eliminates the girsa of Lishna Achrina Mitzad Shaini, and the Gros says that it refers to Beit Din. It means you, if you take him to Beit Din, if he takes him to court, of course it can force him to do it. Tosfot, on the other hand, has a different girsa. He says, Shani Hotam de'ika mechitzot. Rabbeinu Tam says, by the Lechi and the Korah, you already have mechitzot over there. And since the Lechi and the Korah make it that you can be mitatel in that area, you, even if they're done against the will of the individual, by a lechi and a korah, the problem is not kinyan. It's not taking possession of the area. It's simply putting up a mechitza. Putting up a mechitza you can do against somebody's will. Even if you put up a mechitza against somebody's will, it works. It's functional. It's a mechitza. You put up a wall, even though he doesn't like it, it becomes a mechitza. So over here, you can force the person to join the lechi and the korah because all you're doing is making a mechitza. That you can do against his will. Whereas when you're talking about eruvei chatzerot and shituf mivaot, they work, whether you say it's because of Dira or Kinyan, you need the other party to join in. And you can't force someone to live there. You can't force someone to grant you a Kinyan. That's something that requires acquiescence. And so therefore, you can't necessarily force him. So that's why you cannot extrapolate from the case of Lechi and Korah according to Tosafot, because there you can do it against his will. Over here, it's not so clear you can do it against his will. According to Rashi, over there, you are doing something that's beneficial in closing in the last area and putting up a mechitza, whereas by Eruv Chatzerot and Shituf Mevot, it's all about caring, but you already have a protected area, an enclosed area. Over there, you don't necessarily force him. So Itmar, Rav Chiya bar Ashi Amar, Osim Lechi Ashera. You can make a lechi out of an Asherah. We just saw this before with the sulam, the ladder. You can use the Avodah Zarah tree as a ladder to be a petach between the chatzerot. So over here he says, you can make a lechi out of an Asherah. From Shim ben Lakish, Rish Lakish says, Osin Korah Asherah. The Korah he made out of Asherah. Manda Mar Korah, Rish Lakish, who says that you can use the Asherah for a Korah, Koshkin Lechi. Certainly you can use a lechi. Manda Mar Lechi, the one who says you can use it for a lechi, about Korah lo. By Korah, you cannot use it, because kitute michtat shiure. This is a principle the Gemara utilizes in other places. In Sukkah, for instance, if you have a lulav from an asherah, you're not allowed to use the lulav from an asherah. The Gemara says, because kitute michtat shiure. It's as if it's the dust of the earth. It's a bit fresh, and it's nothing anymore. Because it's isurei hana'a. Isurei hana'a, by avodah zarah, what are you supposed to do with it? You have to destroy it. So Chazal look at it as if it's destroyed already. It's as if it doesn't exist. It's as if it's the dust of the earth and has no shiur to it. Since a lulav has a minimum shiur, and here you're dealing with avodah zarah yisrei hana'a, it's as if kitute mechtat shirei, it's as if it doesn't exist. The lulav doesn't exist. How does that apply over here? So we said, according to one who says lechi, he says it works by lechi, but not by korah. Because by lechi, there is no minimum shiurim. A lechi can be a koshuhu, it has no depth or width requirements. It can be any size in its depth and any size in its width. Whereas by a korah, we saw before that it has to be wide enough to accept a brick, and some of the opinions were that it has to be strong enough to accept a brick. It has a minimum shiur. So when something has a shiur, there you can't utilize the asherah because it doesn't have anything there. It doesn't exist in terms of shiurim. Whereas when you have something that doesn't require a shiur, and it doesn't matter, over there we say you can utilize it because there's no necessity of a shiur. You just need the item there. The item exists. We know it's there. It just doesn't have chashivut to give you the shiur. So because of that, there's a distinction between the lechi and the korah. Tosfot over here tries to reconcile all these areas. Lulav, lechi, and korah, as well as our Gemara before by the ladder. By the ladder, we said that it works as a sulam, even though over there you have a requirement of four tefachim wide. Despite the fact that you have a requirement of four tefachim wide, we say it works. Why not we say ketute michta churei? So Tosfot tries to bring them all together and reconcile all of that. So you see, in the Tosfot says, afgav do lechi nami bai shiur gova. You're right, that a lechi doesn't require depth and width. It still has a height requirement. You have to have a minimum height over here. And even its width, it needs a minimum. It has to be a mashu. It doesn't have to be a number, but it has to be a mashu of width. So he says, because they didn't require a big shiur, they required something minimal, they were not machmir over there to say, kitute mechtat shirei. Rabbi Avraham Perush, Rabbi Avraham explains, lechi mayam madbekat kitutim bakoto avilechi. By the lechi, you could take the dust of the earth, or the pieces after you crush it, and paste them on the wall. And they would be a lechi. Because a lechi has no requirement of shiur. So if you pasted all these along the wall, that would work as a lechi. As long as it doesn't get blown away by the wind, it works. So you could put it back together in that way. Now, korah, you need something more significant. You need something that stays there. You need something that has a shiur that's more significant. Ve'emak sholt mihada paslina lulav shel asherah, afilu biyom tov sheni. And yom tov sheni, we say that a lulav that's from an asherah, you can't use. Demashtma, demikuman, delete dami, because it's as if it doesn't exist. The gabi lulav shel mitzvah hechmiru. By a mitzvah, they're more machmir to say that if you need a shiur, the asherah doesn't count. So what you see Tosfot saying over here, this idea of kitute michtat shiurei is an imposition to Rabbanon. They have an Isra Hana over here. Isra Hana has to be destroyed. The Rabbanon look at it as if it's destroyed. Midoraita, it's not destroyed yet. But Midorabbanon, they say it's zip destroyed. Where do they apply that? That depends. By lulav, they're machmir and say you can't do a mitzvah with that. We're going to apply it over there. Over here, by lechi, we're not going to apply it because it only requires a very small shiur. But korah, which requires a more significant shiur, there we are going to apply it. Then he asks, what about before by the ladder and the petach? Even though it requires four tefachim wide, how come over there we said it works and we don't say ketute michtat shiurei? So marid, atam choshi petach, kevin dechazi la'aliyah, ilavi surei da'asherah. Over there, the issue is, all you need is something that is a petach. Whether you can utilize it. Do you have something you can climb on and get over the wall? The answer is yes. Can you do it? No, because you have an Isra Hana'ah. So if I ask you in reality, is there a doorway here? Is there a sulam here? You look at it, there is a sulam here. The problem is that I have a luchic issue that makes it, oh, sulam, that it's not there. But that's not the question. The question simply is, can you get access to the other chatzer? The answer is yes. Can you personally do it? No, because of the Isurim. Korah, Yitzrichu Chachamim Shiro Shel Chashivut. Then when you deal with the Korah, Chachamim require something that's chashuv. They require something that's significant in order to be the hekir or the mechitza. So by Korah, we require it to be full, and therefore you're not going to allow you to use the Asherah. By the Sulam, we don't care that it's a chashuv ladder. It's not a chashuv ladder. All we care is there a doorway over there? There you do have a doorway, even though you can't utilize it, even though it's not chashuv. None of that applies. All we need to know is 4 tefachim wide. 4 tefachim wide is not a shiur in chashivut, it's a shiur in doorway. That tells you you have a doorway. So the shiur itself is not a measure of significance, it's a measure of doorway. And as long as you qualify for that, that's fine. So k'tute mita shiure, we're not going to apply over there. So here Tosfot's trying to reconcile all these different cases where they sometimes apply it and they sometimes don't apply this din of k'tute mita shiure. Next Mishnah. Nitmait ha'ochel. What happens if they put out an Erev Chatzirot to Shittiv Mevot, and it goes below the amount that they started with? Mosif u'mizakeh. The person who has the Eruv or the Shittiv Mevot can add in, and then he has to grant them rights. Mizakeh. He grants them Zchiyah in it. Ve'ein tzarich lo'odia. But he doesn't have to tell them about it. He just has to mizakeh on their behalf, and he doesn't have to let the other people know, because they already agreed up front to be a part of this Eruv. Nitosfu alehem. If he added on to more than them, Mosif u'mizakeh v'tzarech lo'odia. If additional people now came into the Eruv, or came into the Shituf Mevot, then he can be Mosif u'mizakeh, and he can grant them rights to them, v'tzarech lo'odia. But then he has to let them know. So if these new entrants into the Eruv, if he does it from his own possessions, then he just has to be mizakeh on their behalf. If he uses their materials to add them into the Eruv, then zarech lo'odia. He has to let them know that he's using their stuff for the Eruv. So it's one or the other with these new entrants into the Eruv. Kamuhu shiuran. What is the shiur here? Bisman shein mirubim. If you have a lot of people in the chatzer, mazon shtei suldot lukulam, then it's sufficient. A mazon of 2 suldot for everyone there is fine. Bisman shein muatin. When there are less people in there, kigro geret to kol echad v'echad. You need a dried out fig for each individual. Amar Rabbi Yosi b'med dvarim amurim. When is that true? B'tchilat eruv. That's when you're putting down eruv for the first time. Aval b'shayerei eruv. With the leftovers of the eruv, once eruv is in place and effective, then if it's there every week, the remainder of what's left of the food, kol shu, you don't have to have the full shear. The full shear is the starting number. That's how you get out of the gate. That's how you make the eruv. Once Eruv is in place, as long as there's a small amount remaining of it, it works for weeks and weeks and weeks. You don't have to worry about it. The only reason you have to make an Eruv anyway, Eruv Chatzirot, is because we don't want the Tinokot to forget there's a din of Eruv Chatzirot. Because technically, once you join the Shittiv Mevot, you don't need an Eruv Chatzirot. So why do we put in an Eruv Chatzirot? So people don't forget about the din of Eruv Chatzirot. The fact that we only need it there, Shalot Tishkak Torat, Eruv Chatzirot, therefore we're going to be mekil and say that if it's just a little bit left over, that's enough. You don't need the full-fledged Eruv Chatzirot every week. But my askinan, what's the case here? What's the case when he adds on, or he replenishes the Eruv? If it's the same item that they used before, if they had bread in there, whatever they had in that item, and he adds on the same item, my area nitmait. Why is it if it went down? Afilu kala nami. Even if it was totally gone, he can re-enter into the Eruv on their behalf with the same item of food. Elabishnei minim. What are you going to tell me? Now when he makes the Eruv again, he changes what was there. Before they had this type of bread, now he brings in a different type of bread. Afilu nitmait nami lo. Even if it gets reduced, it won't work. The Tanya, we have a braita. Kala ochel. If the ochel is gone entirely, they put out an eruv, and now it's gone. Everything is gone. Mimin echad, ein tzarich lo'odia. If it's from one type, meaning that he replaces it with the original type of food, he doesn't have to tell them about it. Mibet, minim, tzarich lo'odia. If it's from 2 different types, meaning that he replaces it with something else, then he has to let them know. So, how are you going to answer this? Our Mishnah says, ein tzarich lo'odia. Can you be mizakeh? What's the case? If it's a case where he placed it with the same item or the same material, then why does he have to tell him at all? Number one. Number two is, why is it only when it's reduced? Even if it disappears entirely, he's allowed to replace it. Now, if it's from 2 minim, why does our Mishnah say that you're allowed to be mizakeh on their behalf? You don't have to tell him. The Braita says you do have to tell him when you change the nature of the Eruv or what you're using for the Eruv. So, we have 2 explanations of this. One is with 1 minim, one's with 2 minim. Ibai teme min echad, he replaces it with the same min. Ma nitmait, when it says nitmait in our Mishnah, it doesn't mean that it got reduced, but rather, nitmat mate. Nitmat mate means it's gone the gamre. So when our Mishnah says it was reduced, out to nothing. It's as if it completely disappeared. And over there, we say that he's allowed to replace it as long as he uses the same material or item that they had before. And he doesn't have to tell them about it. He just has to be mizakeh for them and doesn't have to tell them. Or we say that it's two minim and that disappearing is different. The Braita says when you have two minim and it disappears entirely, then you can't replace it without letting them know. If you're going to change the item or the material, you have to tell them about it. But the Braita only mentions when it's completely gone. But the Braita doesn't address is when it was reduced. When it was still there, and there's a portion of it left, and then he wants to add on. We assumed, or we extrapolated from the Braita, just like by the case where it's totally gone, he has to let them know. So too by the case where it's still partially there, he has to let them know. The Gemara says, no. Kala, when it disappears entirely, and you're starting over, when then, you have to let them know if it's two minim. But in the case where it's only nitma'at, like in our Mishnah, there you don't have to let them know, and that'll be the difference in the cases. So here the Gemara is trying to differentiate between the Braita and our Mishnah. One way to do it is to reconcile completely and to say we're talking about he replaces it with the same item. How come in the Braita it says even if it's totally gone he can do it? Our Mishnah says only if it's reduced. The answer is the reduced of our Mishnah means totally gone. Or the other way to explain it is that we're talking about tuminim. He replaces it with a different material. The Braita says you replace it with different material, you have to tell him about it. That's because there it was gone, the gamrei. The eruv was totally gone. And now he's starting from scratch, but he's using a different material. There he has to tell him. Our Mishnah is a case where it's still partially there. He's just adding on with the other material. There he doesn't have to let them know. And that's how we'll differentiate between the Braita and our Mishnah, or reconcile between them. If they add on parties to the Eruv, Mizak on their behalf, if he uses their materials to add them into the Eruv, then Zarech Lodia, he has to let them know that he's using their stuff for the Eruv. Amrav Shizvi, Amrav Hista, Zotomeret, Chalukim Alav Chayrevav Rabbi Yehuda. That people argue on Rabbi Yehuda's position. That's not. Amrav Yehuda, Bamed, Vari Mamurim, Beruvay Tchumin. When do you have to let people know? It's Bayeruv Tchumim. Bayeruv Chetzerot, Marvin, Ben Ladat, Ben Jalodat. When do you have to let people know that you made an Eruv on their behalf? That's by Eruv Tchumin. Because without their dot, you can't force a person to have his Eruv on this side and then he can't walk to the other side. You can't force somebody into that position. So because of that, by Eruv Tchumin, you have to let him know. But by Eruv Chatzerot, where it's all to his benefit, where he's going to be able to carry now, then Rabbi Yehuda says, Ben Ladat, Ben Shalodat. Then you can do without his acquiescence, without them knowing. You don't have to tell him about it. Pshita de Chalukim. Of course they argue. That's what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says, the Odia, you have to let them know. So it's clear that our Mishnah and Rabbi Yossi and all those that are found our Mishnah are arguing on him. So Madu Teimani Mili Bechatzer, Bshaben Shnei Mavot. I would have thought this is a case where the Chatzer sits between two Mavot. Of a Chatzer, Shemavu Yechad Eim Alo. Maybe they wouldn't argue on Kamash Milan. Kamash Milan, that's not the case. So what we would have thought is that when you have a Chatzer between two Mavot, that's the case where we have a machloket. Because when you have a chatzer between two mevaot, it can go either way. Since it can go either way, tzarich lo'odia. You have to let them know which way you went. They have a choice. They can be part of this mavoi, they can be part of that mavoi. So you can't do it against their will because we don't know what their will is. In a case where there's only one mavoi and one chatzer, or they're the only mavoi they can go into is from this chatzer, there's one mavoi, then we're going to say do it against their will because there's only one option. So in that case, we say do it for their benefit. In the case where there are two options, then you really have to get their acquiescence. So we would have thought that's where they argue, that they argue when there is a choice. No choice, then we say do it on their behalf. They won't argue on review. The answer is, that's not the case. They disagree where there's no choice. So we would have thought they only argue by Shnei Mivolt. And that's where they say you have to get permission. And Yehuda says you don't have to get permission. The answer is no. They argue even by one Mavoi. The people argue him say you need to get permission. And Rabbi Yehuda says you don't need to get permission. Kamahu Shiro. Kamahu Merubin. What does it mean that there are a lot of people and not a lot of people? I'm Yehuda Meshmo. Shmona Esrei Bnei Adam. Shmona Esrei Vatulo. 18 and no more. Ema Mishmona Esrei Veilech. A lot of people is from 18 and up. My Shmona Esrei did they not cut? Why did you get 18? Where did this number 18 come out of? Some of Yitzhak, Breder of Yehuda, the Dim, Farshile Mine, the Abo. I understood, or I got the information that my father said, that Rabbi Yehuda said, that kol she'ilu mechalkol mazon shtei sudot b'nehem v'ein magia gugorot lechol echad v'chad heinei merubim. The sagi b'mazon shtei sudot. And then once you exceed that number, you only need shtei sudot. V'lo mu'atim. If it's not the case, then they're considered mu'atim. If you would take shtei sudot and divide it amongst all the people, and each person would get a gugorot, that is called to be mi'utin. That's a small number of people. If you break up the shtei sudot and give it to everybody, and not everybody gets a grugorit worth, that means that they are mirubin. So what do you learn from this? Megav Orchei Kamashmalan teaches us that shtei sudot avin shmona asre grugorit. That teaches us that shtei sudot encompass 18 dried out figs. The size of shtei sudot is 18 dried out figs, and that's where we got the 18 number from. Because if you break up a shtei sudot and give it to each person a piece, if you have shtei sudot, each person would get a grugoret when there are 18 people. So that means from 18 and up, it's sufficient with shtei sudot, because those are considered to be merubim. Below that number, then they're better off putting in a grugoret and not shtei sudot, because it won't add up to shtei sudot. So below that number, everybody puts in a grugoret, and they, whatever that number comes out to be, will be the eruv. Once they hit 18 and everybody puts in a grugoret, you're at shtei sudot. So from that point forward, shtei sudot suffices, and that's called merubim. What Tosfot discusses over here is, well, now we know that shtei sudot is 18 grugoret. And then Tosfot says, we also know that shtei sudot is 5 1/3 beitzim. Well, if I take that math now, if I do 5 1/3 beitzim and 18 grugoret, that turns out that every beitza has more than 3 grugorot in them. He says we have a problem because later on the Gemara seems to indicate that a beitza is like 2 times a kazayit and a grugorot bigger. He says the numbers don't seem to match up. So what Tosfot over here does is says that there are machloket tanaim about this. What he tries to prove is that whoever's the author of the position here is not the author of the position over there. Because we can't reconcile between the two positions to have them be equal. Because you know a beitza is 2 gzeitim, and over here you're trying to say that a egg has 3 grugoret in it. 3 grugoret certainly exceeds 2 gzeitim. It's much bigger. A grugoret is bigger than a gzeit, and you have 3 of them. Over there you only have 2 gzeitim. So what he tries to in the end show is that we have a machluket tanaim as to the sizes over here, and you don't have to reconcile between them, because otherwise you're going to come up with these very quirky or unusual types of measurements where you have a beitza be looking like this in one place and a beitza looking like this in another place, and it won't match up. So that's what Tosfot explains over here. We're going to get to that sugya actually coming up, Pei Gimel, and then we'll discuss it more in terms of the measurements over there. But just to know, because we're going to bump into it, that this measurement doesn't necessarily have to reconcile with the measurements that we find on Pei Gimel, because, as Tosfot points out, it's different than Tanaim. Stop over here.